Sing old Satan's mad again. Old Satan's mad. That's the trouble. He's mad. But are you glad? Amen. Praise God. Mad. And I'm so glad. Old Satan's mad. And I'm so glad. He lost that sinner that he thought he had. But all my sins are under the blood. I've been redeemed. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? The Lord bless each one tonight that's came. And let's turn in our Bibles tonight. And I want to try and talk about the determinant from the graves tonight. I know it's a strange message in a midweek service, but I'm not going to apologize for that, because it's all about the cross, and that's the theme, what I feel led to bring over this weekend as well. I want to talk about the cross, about the resurrection, about the Lord. And this is Easter, and we want to really bring them things out at Easter to remind ourselves what the Lord's done for us. Amen. Let's read from Matthew 27, verse 51. To 53, I'll read verse 51 to 53 of Matthew 27. And there's many other scriptures you could read as well. Matthew 27, verse 51 to 53. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Let's bow our heads tonight. If you have a need tonight and want prayer, just lift your hand before the Lord. We'll certainly remember you in prayer tonight. The Lord bless each one. And you pray for me. I need prayer as well. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord Jesus, not of our own righteousness or any works that we can do, but Lord, we come reverently and humbly tonight in the name that you have set far above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for shedding your precious blood to wash our sins away. And Lord, we pray if we have sinned or done wrong or thought wrong or anyone sinned against us, forgive them, sanctify us and cleanse us, and fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost right now by faith. And I thank you that you undertake for me. Lord, I pray for the hands raised. You know every single need, financially, spiritually, physically. We lift it up before you. We're asking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will indeed meet every need. We pray, Lord, for those tonight discouraged. We pray that you'll touch them, that you'll bless them. We ask for the backslider tonight. You restore them. You renew them. Father, that you'll bring them to the right senses, bring them back to yourself, and put the joy of the Lord back in their hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask again for the sick and the oppressed. Lord, that you'll heal and deliver and set free in the name of Jesus Christ. Press Jordy and Winifred. Move upon them, we pray, and bring them back into fellowship. Lord, your word says, gather often as you see the day approaching. We pray for others, Lord, that's maybe not here tonight, that you'll speak to them and move upon them. Lord, we pray for Edris, for his brother Spicely. Move upon that man, you know the situation. Bring him to his senses and deliver him in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask for those that's having special meetings at this time. I think of Brother Brian and others, Lord, and even over here, that you'll just bless and have your way, Lord. And Father, as we make an effort here, help us and bless us and strengthen and bless your people and meet with us as we try to uplift your name. And you said, Lord, if your name's lifted up, that you will draw all men unto you. Help us to lift your name up. Help us to be like you, Lord Jesus. And forgive us, Lord, for when we're own selves. And just help us and sanctify us now and bless this service. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. God bless each one tonight. Praise God. I want us, first of all, to see the provision for this resurrection. And I've already been talking over the last couple of services about the miracles that took place at the time of Christ's crucifixion. And we saw the miracle of the darkness in the day. At the strongest point of sunlight, God brought 3 hours of darkness. Then we saw the rending of the veil. 60 feet by 30 feet as thick as a man's hand. And God tore it from the top to the bottom, showing that the way was made into the holiest of holies, a new and living way. Then there was the earthquake. And I didn't take time maybe to bring out much in the earthquake, but I felt to go on to this tonight. But the earthquake, every one of these things was a miracle. And the earthquake shook everywhere around, and no doubt many graves would have opened, the stones would have rolled back with the earthquake. But I want you to know tonight that the Lord did not need no stone rolled back for himself or for the disciples. And the rolling away of the stone, and we know the angels come down and done that, that wasn't to let Jesus out. That was to let the people in. And these Old Testament saints didn't need anything open to let them out either, because they rose when Jesus rose, and they could have walked clean through the wall. You say that's the Lord. That's these saints as well. They could do it too. Because remember, when you are changed, you will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll not be like you are now. Flesh and blood doesn't enter heaven. You're changed. And these saints, I tell you, they were resurrected and they were changed. Praise God. John 20:19 tells us, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. The Lord Jesus Christ came into them with the doors closed. How did he get in? How did he get into the burning fire furnace? He got in. And here he came in as well. Nobody had to open a door and let him in. The Lord that we serve, it's supernatural. Supernatural. This tomb, the living, these saints what saw the tomb was empty. He rose up, he emptied the tomb. Look at Matthew 28 verse 2 as well. Matthew 28 verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And you know then, when they came looking at him, when the girls, the women came looking at Jesus, and there was a man, they were like, man. Because one scripture thought they were gardeners. And they said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Was a message they were told. And they went in, and there was a cloth lying, but Jesus wasn't there. He was risen. Now that angel never rolled a stone back to let him out. He was already out. But the stone was rolled back so that they could go in. Now you know, when you read the scriptures and you study this, snaps, I've looked at it. I don't want to say it quite a bit, because I don't want to say that, Keith, that sounds boastful or anything, because it's not. I haven't looked at it enough. But I've looked at it a bit. And you know, when you study it, they paid people to say it was stolen away. All sorts of stories went around. And you know how stories go around the day. Sure, you know your own self. Somebody did something, and it might mean but one word of it, and they'll tell it everywhere. And it surprised you who'll tell it. And it was here the same the days of Jesus. They wanted to discredit him, everything about him, because we already saw many of the priests believed on him. Because when they saw that veil rent, And the thing that happened on that cross, they believed on him. Now come back with me to chapter 27 of Matthew and verse 62 and 66. Now, the next day that followeth the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we would remember that this deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I'll rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he's risen from the dead. So the last hour shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And they had a watch on it because they were afraid. Now you know there would have been prophecies given. The word would have been out. Don't forget even the words Jesus said himself. He foretold after 3 days he'd rise. And you know Jonah's the Old Testament. Jonah was in the whale's belly and all. You know all them Old Prophet Testament scriptures. So they were afraid. So they set the watch on. Amen. In case somebody had come and steal him away. Now, it's not so much the Lord's resurrection tonight. I'm going to hopefully talk about that Sunday. But these saints. Now, the people in this resurrection. In verse 52 of Matthew 27. And the graves were opened, and the bodies of the saints which slept rose. Now, I want to tell you, I want you to notice saints, not sinners. Now, somebody, there's an old saying. People say, I'm a sinner, and they're still a sinner. No, but you're a saint. You're a saint. You once were a lost sinner, but you're now a saint. Because once you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible calls you a saint of God. Amen? But there's sinners and there's saints. And these men are addressed as saints. Now, the Greek word, hagioi, meaning holy ones. These were holy ones. And I believe these are those that was in Abraham's bosom. I don't believe they were in hell or somewhere like that. I believe they were in Abraham's bosom. A special prepared place for the Old Testament saints. And you know that Job was in there. All of us in there, and Job had already prophesied, I shall see him. Though the skin worms eat this flesh, I'll see him in the body. That's what he prophesied. And when Jesus Christ arose, these Old Testament saints, they arose. Now they couldn't rise to heroes. When did they get that? He had to rise before they rose. Because your Bible tells you he is the first fruits of the resurrection. And I tell you, they couldn't rise either under the Old Testament laws and rituals, because that animal life had no power in it. No power in it to resurrect. But when the first blood shell broke, God's prophet said, the life of God, Zoe, God's own life, come back on the true church. Then Romans says that the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. It'll also quicken, make alive your mortal body. And I tell you, the quickening power of Jesus came on these saints. They were God's people. They were the Old Testament saints. They were waiting. They were in Abraham's bosom in a place held. But they weren't going to be held forever. They were not placed. A special prepared place for them. They were in there. And I tell you, when Jesus rose, they rose. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And when you read this word slept, they're not dead as in finished. They're sleeping. This is a sleep. They're dead in the physical sense, but they're not dead forever in the sense they're lost. They're not lost. They're sleeping. There's a lot of saints tonight. Their bodies could be sleeping. But I want you to know that their soul is not sleeping, but it's in the presence of Almighty God. Paul said, absent from the body, present of the Lord. But it could not go there at that time. The Christ rose. and Christ rose from the dead. Now I know, don't misunderstand me tonight. I know that Elijah come down from the heaven, the horse and chariots, ever before this. And I know that Moses and Elijah and all them things, we believe that. But these are Old Testament saints that's here, and the Lord brings them out. Brings them clean out. Not only did you bring them out, people see them. And some of them were recognized. And it stirred the life clean out of them. Now, here's something. William Branham said, how will you know when the rapture's on? When this takes place, it'll be over the 40 days, he said. How will you know? He said, your loved ones that went on before you will appear in unto you. Then when you go to Thessalonians, you read, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain. But you see, denominational churches have taught for years, it's all happening in a moment. But the Bible doesn't say it just like that. That's their interpretation. We could be getting together. That's what a prophet said. I believe what he said. Before we go. But we're going to go. Now we'll be changed in a moment. Sure enough, God will take us. But they'll be getting together and going. And I tell you, the Lord's coming for us. And I tell you, we're all so worried about down here. And this earth and all the stuff we have and all the rest of it. But I'll tell you one thing. We're not taking one bit of it with us. Amen? There's people that are not greedy. They wouldn't give a thing to God's work. They're too greedy. But I'll tell you what. It won't make no difference when the Lord comes. We're going to mansions in the heaven. Amen? If this world from you withholds of a silver and its gold. It's not what the way Psalm says. And I try to thank the Lord there's a day coming. The sinner has no such a hope as this glorious future. Their destiny is judgment, hell's fire. Luke 16, 19 to 28 is clear on it. It tells you. Now Luke 16, 19 to 28, one of these men was a saint and one of them was a sinner. Amen? And there was a gulf fixed. There was no cross in between. There was a gulf fixed between. And the ones that went down to hell could not go over to that place. That spice of prepared place for the old beggar was. Amen. And you, Brother Branham said that rich man was packed away in all his fancy stuff. And that a great big funeral with all the trimmings. But he says that the poor beggar, the angels, was his pole bearers. I'd rather have the angels, my pole bearers, than a bit of silver and gold and rubbish that they can pass away, would you not? I tell you, they thought that beggar didn't have much of a burial. But he'd a better one than the other fella had. All that glitters is not gold. Sure it's not. Not the truth. But he went till that terrible place. Amen. And you know there was fire in it. It's an evil place. There's fire in it. And you know he cried and he could see him afar off. And he said, Saint Lazarus. And he dipped the tip of his finger in water. Cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Now we all know that Luke, and I'm not wanting to preach too much Luke tonight, but you know the story of it, where he was. Now think of these saints, and I'm going to read two scriptures. You remember scriptures compound mean. How many knows that? That can mean these saints, but also there's another resurrection. You see, brothers and sisters, when the rapture takes place, that is not the second coming. The catching up's not actually the second coming. The second coming is when we come back with him, King and Queen. And we stand on the Mount of Olives with Christ. But there is a catching away, the rapture, where he takes his bride out. And there's no condemnation. We don't go through tribulation. Because we're in Christ Jesus. He was judged for us. We cannot but judge for the judgment he took. Now we'll give an account sure in our life for what we do as believers. But that's not the judgment. What the Bible's talking about. There's a judgment for the unsaved. It's no power over us. We are saved. And I tell you, we are coming back with Jesus Christ. And you know that even hell itself is going to give the dead up. Those that are in hell won't remain in hell forever. Now, I don't know how long they're going to be in there, a long time, but they'll be resurrected, and there is another judgment, and they're cast into the lake of fire, which is a second death. Now, I tell you, it's good to be saved, isn't it? Ready? Isaiah 26:19 says, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for the dew is as the dew of the herbs in the earth, shall cast out the dead. And I tell you, there's people that's done things and they think it's forgot about and it's gone. Even the very sea will give up the dead in it. That's the Bible says. There's going to be a resurrection of all, of everything and everybody. Look at Hosea 13:14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. And I tell you, he ransomed these saints. And we're ransomed. We're ransomed. Now the word ransom is redeemed. Redeemed is paying the price for something. And the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us. He's ransomed us. He's paid the price of his own precious blood for us. We're not our own tonight. I tell you, some Christians think I'll do my own thing. Well, you can do that if you want, but you're the Lord. You have to do the Lord's bidding and the Lord's will. Just like Jesus says, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, so doth the Son likewise. He was led by the Holy Ghost. May the Holy Spirit lead us. It's not good when we're led a bit by the Holy Spirit and then we do our own thing. May God have his hand on us all the time. That we will not do our own things. And may we, the Lord help every one of us. Now, I want the Lord to help me anyhow. I want to do what God wants me to do. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. First, the sinner will enter torment, fire. Then after the final judgment, then cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8. Now, will you hear who's got into this fire? I'm going to have to take the coat off. It's all right. I've got the red, white, and blue shirt on tonight. The wife had a green one on. The wife said to me, how come you've changed shirts? I said, I'm going to the orange hall. Just joking. Praise God. I like the red, white, and blue. You can preach a sermon on the red, white, and blue. It's in the tabernacle. You had to add the purple as well. Amen. That's my take on it anyhow. Sounds good, doesn't it, brother? Revelation 21:8. Let's hear this tonight. And I won't try and be too long. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and the liars. Now there's a fella, and we travel to work with him, I'll not mention no names, and there's a new fella started. And the new fella was telling about things he did and the job he's at and the size of machines he'd drive. And Geordie, he started, that's not his right name, but you know where I got that name from. Geordie started. And whatever that fella told, he told a bigger one. And the fella twigged on and he was wagging at me to hear it. All made up, most of it. But it's a lie. Now, I know it's maybe not going to harm in the sense he's telling now the yarn. And all of us maybe could exaggerate things. But a blatant liar is deadly. Isn't it? A real blatant liar is deadly. Somebody that could tell real deliberate lies on you to damage your character. That's a bad thing. And the Bible deals with them. Amen. That's why when we come to get saved, we have to repent. Most of us were all liars. We'll fit in somewhere. We've all failed. But thank the Lord he brought us to repentance. And we're repenting of our lies and our different carrying ons. And all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. There was no Sadducees either in the resurrection. Jetco was right. Sad, you see. Now you say, Brother Tom, that's some statement. It is a good one. And it's in Mark 12:18. Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there's no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, so they didn't believe in it, so there's none for them. And there's a lot of people today, and there's some things that's not for them. For they don't believe it. And whether it's the gifts of the Spirit or other things, they don't believe it, so it's not for them. And there's some people you'll never convince. And it'll not matter if you stand your head. It'll not make them no different. They're set in their way. And that's the end of it. But the true seed of God, those that the Lord has moved on and chosen, they'll take everything that God wants for them. Amen? And I'll tell you, you'll not have to wrestle it in or down the throat either. Sure you won't. They'll take it, they'll believe it, they'll accept it. It's the word of God. First time I ever heard on water baptism, the Godhead and them things, I believed it. I always believed it. Anyone who rejects Christ will know nothing of this resurrection, this first one. This one for the people of God that's gone up. But there will be a resurrection for them. Revelation 20 and 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death of no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now you remember also the foolish virgins not lost. There's a bride of Jesus Christ that's caught up in the rapture, but there's a foolish virgin that goes through the tribulation. Because your Bible's the same as mine. It says, who are these that come out of great tribulation? Robed in white. So there's different groups of people. Now, there's no point worrying about who's and what and all the rest of it. And I know a lot of preachers, they put some people, they label them, and they're out and they're in. And I don't believe that's our business to worry about or do that. We can't do it. That's up to God. But you have to believe, and I have to believe, we're going to catch it up. Amen. We need to believe it. That we're ready to go. And the Lord's coming for people that's ready. These graves are open, these saints. The Old Testament saints slept. The condition of these saints is not of torment and death like sinners. Sleep. You can read Luke 16, 19 to 31. I won't take time to read it. These Old Testament saints are absolutely covered by the resurrection of Christ. They were waiting on them. Now, how many knows that another scripture says they cannot be made perfect without us? Thank God for the word of God. Look at verse 23 of Matthew 27. And they come out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So not only were they resurrected, but they didn't go to heaven straight there and then. Because they appeared unto other people. And a fellow said, where do these doctrines come from that William Branham preaches? The Bible. That's where they come from. And here's one in the Bible that they rose and then they appeared to people. And I'll tell you, our loved ones could do the same thing before we go. And I'll tell you, they could come in onto you. I'll tell you by some shock. I can guarantee you by some shock. The morning I was in bed and a rock came in my bedroom. Now I know I was dreaming or sleeping, whatever way you want to look at it. I don't know my own self. But it scared the life out of me. Because he looked as real and he looked alive and he was young. He wasn't the age he was when we put him in the coffin. He was a young man. And a smile on his face. And no beard in his face or nothing. He was young. And I said, how did you get in here? You're meant to be dead. And he just kept laughing. You see, if you're in Christ, you're not dead. You're very much alive. And our loved ones that's went on is very much alive tonight. And they're not far from us. They're nearer than you think. Now, you're not to contact them. That's wrong. The Lord Jesus is the one we contact. He's living. Hallelujah. The resurrection of these saints proclaim the power of the resurrection of Christ. Their resurrection proclaim that Jesus Christ is dying, conquered, and he disarmed and disabled death. That's why the Bible says death will have no more dominion over you. It says sin will have no more dominion over you. Christ conquered them both. 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. There's power in the real gospel. I believe that God sent a message to the 20th century. God never sent that message that we would form a wee denomination and worship a man. Or put people out and put them in and all these different things. That was sent to turn us back to the original gospel that the early church preached and had. The original apostolic message. And I believe we need to continue on with. Amen. Preach it the way they preached it. And I'm going to have to close in a moment. A couple more minutes. I want you to see their priority in this resurrection. I want to make clear these saints which slept arose and come out of the graves after Christ's resurrection. And you can read that in Matthew 27:53. They came forth after Christ resurrected. They could not precede him. They couldn't precede him because the blood of Jesus Christ would go the whole way to heaven. Because when you take the book of Hebrews and you study it properly, you will see as the earthly things are sprinkled by the blood, so are the heavenly with the better sacrifice. That's Christ. You know, Jesus even said after he rose, was it Mary? Don't touch me. I must ascend to my God and your God. Is that right? He had to ascend to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:22-23. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. After that, they that are Christ that is coming. So he's the first one. And he made the way. Now you think, for they were held. They were held. They died a natural death, whatever cause they died by. They were still held because of death. But then I want you to think, Christ conquered death. But you need to get this right. Not only did Christ conquer death himself and his own body in the tree, but him conquering death gave them the victory as well as himself had the victory. Because they rose. So that which had the power over them to keep them in there was broke. And they rose. Because Christ rose. They rose. And I'll tell you, he's coming again, isn't he? Not only did these Old Testament saints arise from the dead, they appeared unto them. I'll tell you. I know for a fact, I'm telling you now. I know it's hard to take in, but I'm telling you, if somebody you know that's part of it, that's a real believer that's went on, and they appear to you where you could, but I don't know where or when, I'll guarantee you, you'd been shocked. And I'm telling you, when the rapture takes place, when the actual event takes place for where we're going to go, you'll have no time to say, well, I better do this and I better do that. He's coming for those that's ready. Brother Branham said, he referring to a brother, he said, brother, you said the Lord could come just any time. He said, that's right. I don't say come tonight or tomorrow or maybe 100 years. But he said one thing, be ready every day, for we don't know when, but we're going to go. And we need to be ready. Amen? And I believe this. I believe if we're wanting to be ready ourselves, hear me this as I'm closing. If we're truly the bride, I believe this, and we want to be ready ourselves, we are ready, I believe that, we will have a desire in us, because we are part of him. For others, it's not ready yet. There should be a desire in us to reach them with the gospel, to see them saved, and we need to intercede on their behalf. They can't pray for themselves, but we're here as Christ's representatives to pray for them, to share with them. And then we need to live a life in front of them worthy of the gospel. We don't want to live a life that stumbles them. We need to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. May the Lord help every one of us. And I'm preaching this to myself, just every bit as much as everybody. But I hope you're encouraged tonight. We're going. We're getting out of here. We're going to go to be with the Lord. Let's come and let's pray this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth that you've showed toward each and every one of us. Lord, we're so glad that you moved upon us by your Holy Spirit, convicted us and brought us to repentance. But Lord, we pray for our sons, for our daughters, for those that's near and dear to us tonight, mother-in-laws, father-in-laws, relatives, friends. Lord, we're asking you for mercy, for grace. We pray that you'll help us to live a life before them worthy of the gospel. Help us to witness. Help us to be your ambassadors. Help us to have a word in season. Lord, to say the right thing at the right time. Help us, O Lord, put in our mouth the things you want us to speak. Take away from us the things you don't want us to speak. Help us, Lord, when we know to speak and not to speak. Lord, that we would be living red epistles, seen and read of all men. Lord, we want to be like you tonight. We want to be like you, Lord Jesus, merciful, loving, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Many tonight are oppressed by the enemy. Many's looking to tablets and potions instead of your priceless healing blood. But Father, I pray you'll grant us mercy tonight. Grant us a visitation of the Holy Ghost. Grant us a visitation of your power and your mercy. That, Lord, that we'll be the men and women you want us to be. We don't want to be what somebody else thinks. We want to be what you want us to be, Lord Jesus. Your children, your disciples. Help us, Lord. Move in our homes. Help us even before our children. Lord, that they would see Jesus Christ in us, shining out of us, so that they could say, like was said of them of old, they took knowledge that had been to Jesus. Help us to be like that, Lord Jesus, I pray. Bring us back. We've heard the message. Bring us back to that apostolic belief and faith and power in the Holy Ghost. And fill us afresh with a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. I pray tonight, Lord Jesus, grant us mercy and grace. Pray for all the brothers that go on the streets, out in the forefront as it were. Pray and bless them, strengthen them. May the angel of the Lord be near them, keep them safe from all the wiles of the enemy. Lord, I pray for Israel tonight. You bless them, strengthen them, and be around them. And Lord, that you'll give Trump wisdom and everybody in authority wisdom. In Jesus' precious name, have your way, we pray. Lord, even in this wee land, we pray for wisdom for those in the place of authority. Much evil's been done, we know, Lord Jesus. But we pray you'll help us to live that life worthy of the gospel and to reach others for your name. Father, grant it tonight. Help us to seek you in this service. Lord, maybe somebody here tonight with a hidden need that's not been mentioned or known about. Maybe they prayed in secret. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that you'll bless them, touch them, and minister to them. In Jesus' precious name. And Lord, for those that heard the gospel there the other Sunday night, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord Jesus, for those that the seed fell on, Father, that you'll continue to speak to them, continue to move upon them, and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, help us as we take a time to seek you and call upon your name. And Lord, if thou wouldst tarry to this weekend, have your way amongst us. Bless, heal, and save. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as we wait upon the Lord.